That's why we come together to worship, to encourage one another, to bless one another. Father, there's so many health needs as a congregation, and Lord, you know each and every need, you know each and every hurt, you know each and every suffering and pain, and God, we lift them each one to you. You know them all by name, and God, there's so many that even what's printed in our bulletin. And God, we think in particular today of Henry Neeson, Donna Penner's grandfather, who's not well. We pray, Father, for that family. Lord, there's so many more that we could pray for here today and rejoice with that are home and feeling better, God. And we lift them to you. And Father, we think of even those who maybe are discouraged today and just didn't feel right. And God, we pray for them even today that you would encourage them. Father, we pray for those who are holidaying. There are many away. And God, we pray that as they travel and as they have a time of rest, that you'd bless them and you protect them, Father. And Father, we think of those who just couldn't be here today. Lord, we pray for Mary Warkentin and Annette Kreider and Elizabeth Neal and Sophie Zielinski. And Father, we lift them to you and pray that these, your sheep, Lord, that they would be encouraged, even through us and through our arms. May we encourage them. Father, it is so good that we can come and we can worship you. We know you. We know you're our God. And we love you. And we come together, Lord, not just to pray. Not, Lord, just to seek your word. Not just to sing. We come, Lord, to encourage each other. May we be a blessing to our neighbor, to our friend, to our, Lord, even to our family. May we be an encouragement, Father. Use us in the ways you'd have us to be used so that we would glorify you in all that we say and do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You know what? I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to encourage somebody. Look around you and just encourage someone. We prayed about it. Now you got to do it. Go around and encourage people. Thank you, worship team. That was great. How many of you love that hymn? You still know that I'm God. Yeah, I tell you, it's got it. I wore a new tie today. It's elephants. And it's actually into Africa tie. So I wore this. It's from South Africa. But I thought how appropriate to wear an elephant tie, so it helps me remember things. And this past week was my 22nd wedding anniversary, this past Friday. And I forgot. No, I'm just joking. I did. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I didn't forget. Men who love life, particularly enjoyed traveling, going different places, having new adventures. He was walking along the shores of Vancouver Island, and he was deep in thought. He sat on a rock, and he just was drinking it all in, and he thought, boy, I'm here. I love traveling. And suddenly he said out loud, he said, Lord, grant me just one desire. Just, if I could have anything, this would be it. And all of a sudden, the sky clouded, and a booming voice said, because you've tried to be faithful, I will grant you this one desire. Just one. And the man said, well, build me a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over anytime I want to. I mean, I love traveling. Just build the bridge, please, Lord. And so the Lord answered, said, your quest is very materialistic. You think of the logistics of that kind of undertaking. I mean, the supports required to reach the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete, the steel it would take. I can do it, said the Lord, but it's hard for me, said God, to justify your desire for a worldly thing. Take a little time to think of another desire, another wish that you would think would honor and glorify me. And so the man sat upon the rock, and he thought for a long time. And finally he said, to the Lord. He said, well, okay, grant me the ability to understand my wife, to be able to know what she's thinking, and when I get the silent treatment, to understand her, to know how to react when she cries. What should I do? I really want to know how to make her truly, truly happy. And after a few minutes, God said, do you want that bridge one or two lanes? How many of you love to travel? All right. Have you ever been on a trip that just didn't turn out the way you planned? I mean, if you've done much traveling, maybe I should even ask this question. Have you ever been on a trip that did turn out exactly as you planned? And if you're like most people, you've had all kinds of things go wrong on a trip. Living the road of life is like that. You may have your journey clearly marked on your roadmap, and you may even be actually going along and traveling, but you know that there's going to be, you don't know what's going to happen until you actually get there. There may be obstacles that come along. There may be detours along that road. And the journey may be full of speed bumps and potholes and detours. And since nobody can entirely avoid them, the question is, in life, how are you handling them? How are you handling the potholes and the detours and the speed bumps as you journey on your life? We all suffer at some point or another, and I've often had this question asked in my office, how can I overcome suffering? Overcoming suffering, I've come to understand, it determines a few steps along the journey. The first one is realize the value of the experience. And I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. It's a great backdrop for this discovery. They're the words written by a fellow named Peter. And I invite you to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4 in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, I like that. Dear friends, do not be surprised. Don't be shocked at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. No one enjoys pain. If you do, you belong on that movie that Bill Murray played. He loved the pain a dentist gives. I can't even remember the name of it. No one enjoys being hurt. No one enjoys hardship. In fact, most people try to avoid it at all costs. No one enjoys to suffer. It's just not natural, but we can't avoid it. So this morning, we need to understand that in order to overcome suffering, we have to realize that there's value in what we're walking through. There's value in where we're walking at this point in time. And we do that through proper focus. Because we can focus properly. We can either move one step further, or we can simply just stop moving. And I prefer to look ahead and say, okay, now I got to take one more step. Even though I'm suffering, I got to take one more step to get through this. I love what Conrad Hilton said, the hotel executive. He put it well. He said, successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. They keep on going. Peter probably wrote this letter shortly around the time of the burning of Rome, either before or after, and at the beginning of a 200-year period of Christian persecution. Beginning of it. Just hadn't actually started yet. God's timing is so perfect. I mean, God prepares. If we just listen, if we spend those necessary moments to meet with Him and rest with Him and sit on the rock and listen, God prepares us for the journey. For the suffering. And God often requires from us to move in His plan and His direction as He gives it, but we so often neglect to do that. And Peter here explains that in order for Christians to be triumphant while they're being persecuted, they must expect it. But it's more than just expect it. You got to appreciate what you learn from it. grab hold and say, I'm learning through this process. Dr. John Maxwell, my mentor in leadership, said, he said, it's okay if you fall down as long as you learn something as you get up. Isn't that good? It's all right for you to fall down, but you better learn as you get up. You travel along, you're going to have problems. And maybe this morning you're walking through a situation that you particularly just don't want to be in. You're going to give up. You're going to stay down, wallowing in your defeat. You're going to get back on your feet as quick as you can. One fellow said, he said to me, he said, I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up. A lot of people don't think that way. Typically, a person thinks like that song title. If today was a fish, I'd throw it back in. I mean, some have been down so long that they're more comfortable lying down than they are getting back up. It's become a way of life for them. I call them miserable people. Discouragers. They know that there's so much more to live life for, but they just don't live it. They choose not to. And since they're no longer interested in getting up, their goal in life is just, I got to pull people down. They got to come down with me. Makes them feel better. You know people like this. When you fall, when you feel defeated, make the best of it. Get back on your feet. I learn what you can through the experience, through the pain, through the turmoil, through the suffering. Learn. I like what Peter says here. He writes it down. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you have suffered. You will suffer. You are suffering. You are suffering. Not, well, it's going to happen, or it's already happened. It's, I'm in it, right now. And while we have good days and we have bad days, and, you know, some people say, man, I love that statement. That, you know, today's good. I'm enjoying today. It's a wonderful day. Everything's looking good. Everything looks rosy. Now, Lord, I'm about to get up, and I just don't know what the rest of the day holds. I mean, that's kind of how it is for us. Have you ever figured it out? How many of you go to the gym and spend time at the gym and or jogging? You got a jogging program, or you do walking. You know, for me, I walk to the car, drive somewhere. We exercise. We keep our bodies toned and in shape, and we eat healthy, and we try and get healthy. And the same is for our faith. We need to exercise it, and God knows that. He walks us through the journey. Because he knows that when we suffer, it exercises our belief in him. And once I've walked through that journey, invariably at some point, I am there to minister to somebody who's going to walk through a similar journey that I've walked through. Isn't that interesting? Learning. What a learning curve. There are moments I dislike. I mean, I've discovered there are moments I really despise. But I've also learned that I've moved another mile in my journey. And each time you experience suffering or trials, hurts or pain, know that you've traveled another mile farther to who God wants you to be. Amen? There's more. Don't go to sleep yet. Overcoming suffering means you've got to realize the value of the experience. You also have to recognize you're not alone. 1 Peter goes on and he says, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. No one likes to be alone. I don't like to be alone. Every one of us likes someone to be along with us for the ride. Peter reminds us here that we must remember and we must recall the suffering Christ walked through for us. It was love that took Jesus to the cross. It was love that he suffered at the hands of mere humankind. It was love that walked that Calvary road, and it's love that brings him here to be with you today. That's all of love. You're never alone. If you have Christ, you're never alone. The reminder of his journey, his life while here on earth living among us was simply to provide for us an understanding that we can overcome it all. In fact, Jesus said, he said, take heart in John 16. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. You're not alone. That in itself helps me to carry on in the journey. I cannot do anything apart from him. Listen, take that time. Because then take that time when you're suffering. All God wants from you is you to recognize that you're not alone. He understands where your journey is taking you. And your suffering can, if you allow it, it can just bring you so much closer to the one you need to make it through the journey. You can't do it without him. I'll tell you that right now. You can't do, you'll try, because I know I've tried. I've tried many times. I say, okay, I can do this on my own. God says, no, you can't. You got to do it with me. See, I assured you last Sunday. I said, I want to assure you, and I'll assure you again, that you are forgiven, that you're pardoned, that you're cleansed. If you've come to him and you said, Lord, forgive me. I give you my life today. He pardons you. He completely says you're free. That's it. But God doesn't walk away when he does that. He says, now I'm going to walk with you. I recall a man by the name of Eric Bergeron. He's a great guy, gentle, kind, full of life individual, and he ended up in the hospital with congestive heart failure. And he lay in the intensive care with all the tubes in his mouth and up his nose and in his arms, and the only way he could communicate was by writing in a small pad. And when I visited him in the intensive care, he wrote, among other things, he wrote this down, and as hard as it was, and he'd write it, you know, and I'd try and decipher, and I'd say the word, you know. First word he wrote was God. You know, and I said, no, it's Devin. But, no. But I wrote it, and I said, God. And he went, you know, and then he said, God needed to land me flat on my back, so I quit whining and began listening to what he had to say. And he was released from the hospital. And his sense of humor continued to shine through. And he said to me, he said, God had to put me down. I said, that's right, God had to put me down. He said, on my back, that is, so that he could build me up. And he fought back the tears as he spoke this word. He, a gentle man who's now in the presence of our Lord, and he's loving and he's laughing. He's probably telling stories to our Lord. I don't know. But he was just a great guy. Suffering is not isolated. It's not an isolated incident. A.W. Tozer said, he understood this as he said, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he's hurt him deeply. I don't like those words because I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate hurt. I don't appreciate pain. I'm not one for conflict. I don't even like a paper cut or spiders. Come on. But I tell you, when I take those holidays, there are moments where the trip just doesn't go the way I planned it. But I got to tell you this, I always reach the destination. I always get there. And even though you're walking today through maybe something you just don't understand why you're walking through it, just know that you're going to get to the destination. It's always there. One of my favorite stories, you heard before, bears repeating. I have to help you ladies get through this, because of the story I told at the beginning. There were three men. They were hiking in a forest, and when the large raging river was there, and they needed to get to the other side, and the first man, he said, pray. He said, Lord, give me strength. Got to cross this river. Remember? God, poof, gave him the strength. Long, strong arms. He's able to swim across that river. It took him about 2 hours, but he did it. Almost drowned twice. Second man prayed. He said, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross the river. Poof. God gave him a rowboat. Strong arms, strong legs. He was able to row about an hour. Almost capsized a couple of times. And seeing that happen, first two men, the third guy, he prayed, he said, Lord, please give me the strength, the tools, the intelligence to cross the river. And he was turned into a woman. She checked the map, hiked 100 yards upstream, and walked across the bridge. That's for you ladies. I don't know. Sometimes we're praying for things and we don't, well, Lord's saying, wait, go back and read the instructions, will ya? But Lord, I want strong arms. That's what you want? Great. Get back and read the instructions. But if you just give me a boat, it's going to be longer that way. But read the instructions. That's all I ask, God says. Read the instructions when you're suffering. Probably the time you don't want to, but the time you need to. Overcoming suffering, realize the value of the experience. Recognize you're not alone. Rejoice through the journey. Now, this is the one that often we have time, we can't understand it. The Peter puts a little bit, listen to verse 13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I mean, when I begin to understand that suffering is there and it's not going to go away, when I know that I have someone who soothes me in the midst of all that, it causes me to reflect with unexplainable joy. Now, we cry through it. We cry for temporary relief, but the God of all comfort gives permanent consolation in the midst of our suffering. There are many verses which provide a backdrop of joy as we suffer. One which grips me and encourages me as I journey along are the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God takes everything horrible, everything excruciating, every pain, every hurt, every moment, every situation, even the suffering, and he uses it for his good. See, listen. While the cross impresses upon me the love of God for me, for his children, it's the walk to the cross that's always provided for me the encouragement that I need to continue through the pain. Christ accomplished for us more than we ever will come to realize until we see his face. Because that walk of shame, that embarrassment, that ridicule to the cross was a painful one that I will never forget. It gives me the strength to find the joy over and over and over again as I meet with God, as I read the instruction book, as I pray to him and talk to him. Pray. If you're hurting today, pray. If you need comfort today, pray. If you're struggling today, pray. If you're suffering today and you don't know how you're going to make it through and you're just going to lose it, pray. Talk to God about it. I found this. I've just got all prayer pursued far enough becomes praise. Becomes praise. Any prayer, no matter how desperate its origin, no matter how angry and fearful the experience, it ends up ultimately in praise. The problem is, at some point in our suffering, at times we give up instead of praying up. I want you to close your Bibles because I want you to understand this completely this morning. I want to share a final story. And Margaret, I want you to come. And I want you to start to play there. Just close your Bibles. It's a true story. The year was 1874, and you know the story. The passenger steamer, the Ville de Havre, was on its way to Europe. And there was a family from Chicago on board. Mrs. H.B. Spafford and her four little daughters, and the father, who was a Chicago lawyer, he was much too busy to go with them at the time, but he intended to follow along a little later. And in mid-ocean, a collision took place with a sailing vessel, and nearly all on board were lost. The four children were drowned at sea, but a sailor discovered Mrs. Spafford floating in the water. He rescued her. She cabled her husband from shore. She said this, saved alone. Mr. Spafford started immediately for England to bring his wife back to Chicago. Dr. D.L. Moody had meetings in Edinburgh, and he went to Liverpool to bring comfort to these bereaved parents. And he said how pleased he was that as he entered the room, they looked at him and said through tears, "It is well. The will of God is done." So they started to travel back, Mr. and Mrs. Spafford, and as they reached the point of where the incident had taken place, wife had said, "This is where our children passed away and were drowned." And Mr. Spafford spent some time alone as they traveled through that period of time where the collision had taken place. And he wrote those words, "One peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." That kind of peace cannot be explained. It can only be realized. Realized by the journey that we live. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you, while that's being played, are you seeing the God who walked you through the past is still here with you today? Do you recognize him? Do you believe him? Can you talk to him? Can you pray to him? Can you ask him to give you the strength to go on? No matter how much we suffer, no matter our doubts, no matter how angry we get, no matter how many times we've asked in desperation or doubt, how long, oh God, how long, praying to God finally develops into praise. But you must first pray. Maybe you want to sing that to God this morning in your heart. Maybe you want to say, "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Lord, all of that is happening right now in my life." Maybe you want to talk to him about that. Maybe you want to say to him, maybe you're at the point where you want to say, "Whatever it is, God, whatever it is, whatever you're taking me through, whatever, Lord, I'm walking, wherever I'm walking right now." Maybe you want to say, it is well within my soul. Maybe you want to say to him, "Father, thank you for the cross. But more than that, thank you for the walk to the cross." Maybe you want to say to him, "Lord, I rejoice today in who you are. Because of you, I'm not overwhelmed anymore as I suffer." Let's sing that song to him.